More than one third of those suffering with an eating disorder are male, and yet there's a common misconception that it's a women's issue. While there are often similarities between how men and women experience eating disorders, there are also gendered aspects to unhealthy body image ideals among men. I'm your host, Katrina Stirrett, and in this episode of Weekend One-on-One, I speak with Dr. Zach Seidler, clinical psychologist and global director of research at Movember. Dr. Seidler unpacks common types of eating disorders among men, often centering around a fixation with muscle enhancement and reducing body fat. He shares how genuine male friendships might be the answer to tackling this often silently fought mental health issue.
I guess as a men's mental health expert, do you see that there's a lack of awareness or even, I guess, a shame and stigma around men seeking help for eating disorders?
Oh, 100%. I've seen that there has been a shift over time in recent years, people are starting to cotton on to the fact that this is, you know, not a, you know, an experience that is gender specific by any means. It manifests in different ways for boys and girls and men and women. But, you know, men experience eating disorders, but there is a serious, amount of misinformation around the fact that this is purely something that young women go through. And as a result, the likelihood of men coming forward for something like this, or in many ways actually being willing to admit that the behavior has moved into a disordered eating, world is a really complex thing to actually engage even in conversation, whether it's one-on-one with a clinician or even more so from a societal perspective, to get that message out and to not be laughed out of the room is a difficult one. But I'm really glad to see Butterfly Foundation now starting to come out and, you know, do some messaging and policy around this.
Yeah, and you talk there about, like, you know, being laughed out of the room. Do you think some of those traditional ideas, or I guess what people refer to as toxic masculinity or more damaging ideas of what it is to be a man, do you think they sort of contribute to the reluctancy by a lot of, I guess, probably young men in particular, to go out and seek help because there's this sort of shame around, oh, you're meant to be tough and you're meant to be strong and you're not meant to show any kind of vulnerability?
Yeah, I think that that's a fundamental issue that we deal with full stop around, you know, men coming forward for mental health difficulties. I do think that that is shifting. We're seeing, you know, awareness go up and stigma go down, but there is still going to be disorder specific issues here. And eating disorders fit into a very feminized worldview. They fit into a very clear understanding of what this should and can look like. And as a result, it means that many men who are presenting with this type of behavior slip through the cracks. It is not seen in that way by health practitioners, by family and friends. It's just like you've got lenses on, you've got blinkers on, and it doesn't fit into the mold of what you'd expect to characteristically view as an eating disorder. I also think that masculinity plays a really big role here in that we're often not talking about anorexia, which is the thing that most people talk about when they think about eating disorders. So we've got a whole literacy issue, which is that bigorexia and this desire for men to put on size, or orthorexia, which is all around, healthy eating to the nth degree, is, you know, really common in lots of guys. We're seeing steroid use. We're seeing all of these, you know, nootropics, all of these different types of supplements that men are using to try to live up to a masculine standard that is in many ways completely unattainable. And so I find it really strange that we've got this notion that eating disorders fit here in this feminized space, when in fact I am witnessing, whether it's friends, colleagues, or more so within society and my clinical work, this is a huge, huge iceberg of an issue that we are only starting to cotton onto right now.
Yeah, and I guess in terms of how, as you just mentioned, eating disorders can manifest differently among men and women, and you talk about that kind of term that I don't think I've heard of before, bigorexia. I guess could you unpack a little bit about how that can also lead to issues around men being able to identify themselves as having an eating disorder because there's so little known about those manifestations of an eating disorder.
So the thing about eating disorders is they often trick you, and they try and trick everyone around you to make it seem like it is healthy, to make it seem like you are making, the right decisions for yourself. You might be losing weight and looking, ostensibly to be healthier. But really, when it comes down to it, it's the underlying psychological mechanism around obsession, around fear of gaining weight, around restrictiveness that is really, really rigid. And so what happens is, because of the way in which many men are socialized around pushing themselves, around suffering and around pain, we've got all of these movements now around ice baths and all meat diets, and it's just rife within the men's well-being space. And there is this notion of martyrdom that kind of comes with successful masculinity as it's, kind of thrown around. And so when they're using muscle-enhancing drugs, when they are showing, binging and purging, when they are obsessing about fitness and body image, it's kind of put in this bracket of he's kind of an influencer. Look at him go. He's ripped. He's got all the girls. Everything's going the way that it should. But underneath it, the psychological terrain that he is walking daily is fraught, is painful, is difficult, and in many ways is ending up at the nth degree, which is, a mental health disorder. And we're just really not very good at seeing that and going, this has gone too far. And the men realizing that they're actually, if I take away some of these things, how will you cope? And if you will not cope, then that's a pretty good example of the fact that this is getting a bit unhealthy.
Yeah, and from a clinical point of view, obviously, with any mental health issue, there is typically a reluctancy from anyone of any gender to, I guess, accept or acknowledge that they have a mental health issue. There's quite a lot of shame still around it, despite a lot of the taboos being broken down. But in terms of your clinical experience, when you're seeing a man who is presenting with an eating disorder, is there a greater reluctancy initially to accept that they might have an eating disorder?
It doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman, it's baked into the disorder itself, which is denial, which is a belief that if they start to pull the thread, their whole life will unravel. And eating disorders are very, very unique in the way in which we diagnose and treat, because they are largely the only mental health disorder that has a really strong physical component and fundamentally can kill you in ways that most, obviously other mental health conditions cannot. And so it's really fraught territory. It requires a lot of nuance and understanding of their lived experience, where it comes from, what are the drivers? Because that's the thing, in many ways, the beauty standards that women experience and that, their social media algorithm is churning out for them, it's a very different experience for lots of these guys. And it might still be underpinned by this perfectionistic ideal of what you can and should be. But the way in which it manifests looks very different. So we really want to be understanding that there has to be ways that we can enter into these conversations in good faith, that we can start to understand what are the pressures that young men especially are facing, and where are they getting this messaging from, and how can we nip it in the bud early?
Yeah, and just finally, I know you speak a lot about male friendship and male intimacy and really try to advocate for spaces where men can sort of replicate, I guess, what is normally seen as quite a feminine thing to have, those really strong foundations of friendship. Do you feel as though holding space for that is a really key way for men to open up and really seek help and address this particular issue? I mean, it would apply, I guess, for a lot of mental health issues, but I guess we're talking about eating disorders.
You need people close to you to be able to see what is happening, to be able to watch body changes, character changes, all of this, type of molding of one's personality that happens over time and might shift into disordered eating, for instance. There are two issues here. The first is that this is often a competition. amongst many men, and it ends up kind of being a self-fulfilling prophecy where they compete with one another and push each other to do more when it comes to some of this stuff. And so you end up with this groupthink, and you get 10 guys who are, excessively sharing information, who are all sharing, steroids, whatever it might be. So that is, a sense of community in many ways that is safeguarding in some ways, but is also really complicated and potentially destructive in others. But we also have, a necessity for there to be these robust places for conversation, for challenging, for connection. And really, what is happening at the moment is that this journey of eating, of exercise, is becoming a really individualized one, is becoming a very isolating experience, and is being really, pushing people down rabbit holes of misinformation. When, if you can find a group of people who you can connect with and talk to about this stuff, you like to think that new information, new perspectives are actually going to be safeguarding in many ways. So, I think the one thing that is really awesome about male friendship is that we call each other out on our shit. That is the key to successful mateship. And that is what I hope, for young guys who lean into these connections will do with their friends, just as I would expect, someone to do with me. It's that willingness to go, hey, I've noticed this thing. What's going on there? Let's have a chat. And there's no judgment. There's just a potential desire to work out, what's best for him.
Thanks so much for sharing all your insights today, Zach. I really appreciate it.
No problems, Kat.